Senate will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Prozanski. Prozanski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Bonamici. Invocation today is from Ben Bryson from Court Street Christian Church in Salem.
Let us pray. Almighty God, I pray a blessing over these public servants whom you've appointed to lead this great state. Give them the wisdom from on high and strength and humility that comes from knowing you. Bless their families for the tremendous sacrifice they are making. And we gather here today and we pray that you would bless and show favor on these proceedings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ben. Nice to meet you.
Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have the honor of presenting Aaron Weaver, age 23. He is a master's in public administration candidate from the University of Oregon. And he's got a Bachelor of Science in Education from Heidelberg College. His hometown is Baltimore, Ohio. He's married. His wife's name is Lori. He would like to come and observe the workings of the state legislature and someday try his hand at politics, even possibly running for Congress. He graduated with high honors from Heidelberg College. He was an Eagle Scout, and he is a member of the Republican Central Committee. So again, Mr. President, Mr. Aaron Weaver will be working in our office as an intern.
All right. Welcome, Mr. Weaver, and we hope you'll find your experience rewarding. It will be an interesting session. Thank you. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to also make a recognition to one of the interns that I also have in my office. Price Armstrong is with the University of Oregon. He's with the 3 p.m. program as a graduate student. He comes from the East Coast originally, where he did his undergrad in history. His interest is in public policy. He asked me when we were interviewing each other if I could get him or recommend a copy of the Oregon Constitution for him to read after I picked my jaw up. And I said, how about if I give you a little history book so you can maybe get a little flavor instead of just reading the text itself. So he's ready to go help us throughout this process. He'll be here on a weekly basis, and I really appreciate him being willing to come up from Eugene to give us some assistance. And also, I would like to note that he is also a home brewer as well as a stress reliever by bicycle. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Armstrong, and thank you for being willing to provide service to the Senator and to the Senate. The Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'd like to introduce one of my interns, Jeanette LaBoy. This is her first session interning. Immediately upon graduating high school, she joined the Air Force and did a tour of duty there, and then decided to go back to school. I'm not sure she can fly F-15s, but I don't have one of those anyway. She is a senior at Oregon State. She's majoring in political science, and during the summer, she stacked hay all summer long. So not physically, she ran a New Holland haybine, but which I have one myself. So anybody with that sort of direct connection to agriculture, I have a soft spot in my heart for them. So I'm very excited to have her here. And she does have a beautiful smile, you're right, Senator Winters. So she's very enthusiastic and eager to learn the process. So I'm glad to have her on board.
Great. Welcome, and thank you for being willing to contribute. Thank you very much. Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm actually not sure if this is appropriate under courtesies or remonstrances, but I'm going to go ahead since I've been recognized. I wanted to announce something that you've already probably seen by email. Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and although it will be a work day for us, I wanted to ask you to join me in performing community service that afternoon. The Office of the Senate President, and thank you very much, President Courtney, has arranged for two opportunities to do work here in Marion County. For those of you that don't have a committee meeting, there is an opportunity both from 1 to 3 and also from 3 to 5 to go and have transportation arranged to Marion County Food Share, where we can prepare food boxes for people that need them and also sort books if you would prefer to do that at the same location. And in addition, there's an opportunity to do cleanup from the storm damage at Bush Pasture Park. This, you probably know, has been declared a historic opportunity by our new president to have a national day of service, so you would be joining literally hundreds of thousands of people around the country and thousands of people here in Oregon in spending a couple of hours doing some good work. It's no substitute, I know, for the good work that each of us does back in our community on a regular basis, but I think it is both important as a symbolic opportunity and really showing that we have the ability to go out there and actually get dirty and do some hard work to give back to the community that we're here in for the 6 months. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. And for future reference, your suspicion was right. That would, in the future, come under remonstrances. Are there further courtesies? remonstrances, moments of history in celebration of Oregon's 150th birthday, and I recognize Senator Larry George.
Well, in celebration of the 150th birthday of the state of Oregon, and avoiding the word that I can't pronounce, I draw this from the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources and the Oregon History Project and the Oregon Time Web. When European sea captains first glimpsed the Northwest Pacific coast, the vast and dense coastal forests caught their attention. Captain George Vancouver, whose British fleet passed near the Oregon shore on April 27, 1792, also noted the change in the character of the water that signified the mouth of the river. Vancouver was a careful man. However, he was under orders not to pursue any inlet or river further it shall appear to be navigable. He decided to drop the matter and continue northward. 2 days later, he encountered a ship, the first he had sighted in 8 months. It was Captain Robert Gray, headed south. Gray told Vancouver's officers that he had passed a river's mouth with a flow so strong he could not enter. Vancouver remembered the spot, but even after hearing Gray's account, he again dismissed the river, if such it was, as being too small to be navigable. 2 weeks later, on the morning of May 11th, 1792, Gray saw the same flume of muddy water coming from the shore. This time he decided to follow it, and the Columbia shot over the bar in 5 to 7 fathoms of water into the broad expanse of Baker Bay. Gray named the river Columbia after his ship. American statesmen later used Gray's entrance into the Columbia to support U.S. territorial claims in the Far West.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes President Courtney.
I request permission to turn to the order of courtesies, please, Mr. President.
Without objection, is so ordered. We would return to the order of courtesies. Senator Courtney.
Yes, earlier today I had a chance to visit with students here in the Senate floor that are here for public health day here in the legislature. I believe they're sitting in the South Gallery, and I hope you'll extend the courtesies to this great group of students. I brought them on the Senate floor earlier, and they seem to like that quite a bit. And they're here from the following high schools and middle schools: Aloha High School, Beaverton High School, Forest Grove High School, Gresham High School, the Tigard High School, Woodburn High School, and North Salem High School, and the following middle school: Reynolds Middle School, also Southridge High School, Reynolds Middle School, French Prairie Middle School, Centennial Middle School. And I believe I've covered all the high schools and middle schools. Again, a group of students have come here today to show support for public health and to also visit with us here in the Oregon Legislature. And I did it on behalf of the Senate, bring them on the Senate floor a little earlier today. So I'd appreciate it, Mr. President, if you would extend the courtesies of the day and of the Senate to the students in the South Gallery.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to all of you in the gallery, welcome to your Oregon Senate and participating in this session with us today. We hope you have a great day at the Capitol, and we certainly extend courtesies to you. We'll now return to the order of remonstrances and recognize Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I put a piece on your desk this morning that is called The Impact of the Governor's Recommended Budget on Long-Term Care Sector. There's a report out that came on January 5th, prepared for the campaign for Oregon Senior and Peoples with Disabilities. This campaign is one that was set up at the end of the 07 session. We had a caucus that I was a part of dealing with senior long-term care, and I urged the support group to form a PAC, a political PAC, which they did. That consists of the Oregon Association for 4As, our area for the agencies. It includes the Oregon Healthcare Association, AARP, and SEIU. They purchased a study done by Echo Northwest, which is available. I will make sure that each of you gets a copy of this study. It's 21 pages. What I put on your desk, however, is a summation. And if you look at the very top of it, it talks about the repercussions of what would be considered an 18% shortfall in the budget for senior and people with disabilities. and that would eliminate approximately 5,782 clients from long-term care services. It would forego approximately $338 million in federal funds if we do not continue these programs. Some of those would be maintenance of effort programs. It could lose up to 1,100 or 11,000 jobs. That cost 1,100,000 jobs with the result of over half a million money that would turn around into the business community. So I urge that you take a look at this, and we do have copies that I will make available to every person in this legislature, House and Senate. Thank you very much.
Thank you much, very much, Senator Morissette. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Mr. President, return to the order of courtesies.
Without objection, we'll return to the order of courtesies. Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. President, it gives me a lot of pride to introduce my newest intern, Mr. Kyle Vineyard. Kyle goes across the street to a small university called Willamette University, and he joined us last week and is doing a fantastic job, and I would like courtesies of the Senate extended to him.
Well, Kyle, welcome. Thank you for giving your service to Senator Atkinson and the Senate, and hope you learn a lot from that experience. Are there further remonstrances? Messages from the House? Reports from conference committees? Reports from standing committees? In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 1 was distributed to members January 15th. Committee report summary number 2 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal and Status Report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provision of the permanent rules of the Senate for the 75th Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage each bill shall be read section by section be suspended for the duration of the regular session of the 75th Legislative Assembly, and the requirement that every bill shall be read by title only on three several days in each House be suspended.
Senator Devlin has moved that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provision of the permanent rules of the Senate for the 75th Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage each bill shall be read section by section be suspended for the duration of the regular session of the 75th Legislative Assembly, and the requirement that every bill shall be read by title only on three several days in each House be suspended. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we do this bill at the beginning of every session. This basically makes it possible to expedite our business. Otherwise, every 50, 100 page, or 200 page bill we have would have to be read word for word on the floor here.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is an appropriate bill. It will move the calendar forward, and it is something that we have done at every session to expedite the process, particularly in the closing days of the process, Mr. President. So we support the bill.
Thank you, Senator. And the reading clerk is thrilled. If there's no further discussion, the question before the Senate is on the suspension of the constitutional provisions. Those in favor, answer by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We have to do this as a roll call? Okay, I've been corrected. We do have to do this as a roll call. So we will get to use those little voices again for the first time. Those in favor of the provisions will answer aye when their name is called. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum? Rosenbaum? Schrader? Starr? Telfer? Berger? Walker? Whitsett? Whitsett? Winters? Atkinson? President Courtney? Excused. Bates, Boquist, Morse? Absent Whitsett? Excused. Bates, Boquist, Morse, Whitsett. 26 ayes.
The motion has carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, in memoriam Phyllis K. Beck, 1949 through 2008. Senate Joint Memorial 1, urging Congress to allow Oregon veterans to obtain state home loans at any time after a veteran separates from service. Senate Joint Memorial 2, urging Congress to enact legislation creating statewide transportation system to provide transportation to Oregon veterans to and from medical facilities. Senate Joint Memorial 3, urging Congress to enact legislation providing complete health care for all honorably discharged veterans and their dependents. Senate Joint Resolution 1, directing Department of Human Services to review immunization requirements. Senate Joint Resolution 2, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to surplus corporate income or excise tax revenue. Senate Joint Resolution 3, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to voter registration. Senate Joint Resolution 4, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to employment of judges in schools. Senate Joint Resolution 5, relating to proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to allowing political subdivisions to zone sexually oriented businesses. Senate Joint Resolution 6, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to election campaigns. Senate Bill 226 relating to alcohol control law education programs, program money, and court emergency. Senate Bill 227 relating to furnishing alcoholic beverages to a minor. Senate Bill 228 relating to restitution. Senate Bill 229 relating to restitution. Senate Bill 230 relating to non-monetary obligations posed as a result of conviction. Senate Bill 231 relating to school district board policy on suspension of driving privileges. Senate Bill 232 relating to suspension of driving privileges for alcoholic liquor to a minor. Senate Bill 233 relating to crime victim rights and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 244 relating to Oregon State Bar and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 245 relating to sentencing guidelines. Senate Bill 246 relating to assault. Senate Bill 247 relating to assault. Senate Bill 248 relating to juvenile proceedings. Senate Bill 249 relating to marijuana. Senate Bill 250 relating to computerized criminal history. Senate Bill 251 relating to restricted weapons. Senate Bill 252 relating to sentencing. Senate Bill 253 relating to custodial interrogations. Senate Bill 254 relating to grand juries. Senate Bill 255 relating to compensation for services provided to persons ineligible for appointed counsel. Senate Bill 256 relating to courts. Senate Bill 257 relating to Department of Corrections. Senate Bill 258 relating to Oregon Youth Authority. Senate Bill 259 relating to crimes. Senate Bill 260 relating to juveniles. Senate Bill 261 relating to the statute of limitations. Senate Bill 262 relating to courts. Senate Bill 263 relating to damages. Senate Bill 264 relating to crimes. Senate Bill 265 relating to mental health court programs. Senate Bill 267 relating to driving privileges. Senate Bill 269 relating to relocation of utility facilities. Senate Bill 271 relating to fees of the Oregon Tax Court. Senate Bill 272 relating to prior consent for taking blood samples from pregnant women. Senate Bill 273 relating to counsel on court procedures. Senate Bill 274 relating to administrative law judges. Senate Bill 275 relating to medical assistance for inmates with serious mental illnesses who are released from public institutions and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 276 relating to school facility sitting. Senate Bill 277 relating to access to toilet facilities. Senate Bill 278 relating to forfeitures. Senate Bill 279 relating to alcoholic liquor. Senate Bill 280 relating to animal fighting. Senate Bill 281 relating to torts. Senate Bill 282 relating to torts. Senate Bill 283 relating to civil actions. Senate Bill 284 relating to civil actions. Senate Bill 285 relating to marijuana. Senate Bill 286 relating to foreign country judgments. Senate Bill 287 relating to licensing of residential facilities. Senate Bill 288 relating to representation of individual with mental illness committed to the custody of Department of Human Services. Senate Bill 289 relating to hearsay. Senate Bill 290 relating to orthotics and prosthetics, Board of Examiners, Property Money, and Declared Emergency. Senate Bill 291 relating to reporting vehicle accidents. Senate Bill 292 relating to use of state highway fund monies. Senate Bill 293 relating to jury verdicts and criminal actions. Senate Bill 294 relating to discovery. Senate Bill 295 relating to death penalties. Senate Bill 296 relating to juries. Senate Bill 297 relating to possession of domestic animals. Senate Bill 298 relating to forfeited animals. Senate Bill 299 relating to possession of domestic animals. Senate Bill 300 relating to taxation and appropriating money. Senate Bill 301 relating to taxation and appropriating money. Senate Bill 303 relating to humane special agents. Senate Bill 304 relating to abandoned animals. Senate Bill 306 relating to attorney fees. Senate Bill 307 relating to statute of limitations for product liability, civil action. Senate Bill 308 relating to attorneys. Senate Bill 309 relating to evidence. Senate Bill 310 relating to deoxyribonucleic acid and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 312 relating to street addresses for business entities. Senate Bill 313 relating to evidence. Senate Bill 314 relating to accident reports. Senate Bill 315 relating to health care financing. Senate Bill 316 relating to clinical trials. Senate Bill 317 relating to emergency medical services and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 318 relating to reports of semi-independent state agencies and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 319 relating to operating a motor vehicle while using a mobile communication device. Senate Bill 320 relating to recycling rechargeable batteries. Senate Bill 321 relating to elections. Senate Bill 322 relating to roadside arrest areas. Senate Bill 323 relating to electronic submission reports to the Legislative Assembly and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 324 relating to application and public contracting code to state government agencies and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 325 relating to exclusive farm use zoning and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 326 relating to elections. Senate Bill 327 relating to practice of naturopathic medicine and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 328 relating to unlawful collection practices. Senate Bill 329 relating to the use of mobile communication devices while driving. Senate Bill 330 relating to voter pamphlets. Senate Bill 331 relating to chief petitioners and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 332 relating to government regulation of commodities and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 333 relating to education and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 334 relating to bonds for electricity and appropriate money. Senate Bill 335 relating to regulation of commodities and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 336 relating to fuel. Senate Bill 337 relating to elections.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, establishing deadlines for completion of legislative measures and date of adjournment, sine die. Senate Bill 339, relating to allotments and declaring emergency.
Passed to calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take final action on SCR 2 and SB 339 immediately.
Senator Devlin has moved that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take final action on SCR 2 and SB 339 immediately. Senator Devlin, please explain your motion.
This will allow us to take up action on these two bills immediately. All members, I believe, of this body are well aware of the content of these bills. I'm not going to discuss their content, but they are necessary for us to expedite business that needs to be done as soon as possible.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. This motion is non-debatable. I do have someone in the queue if this is relating to something else, but the motion itself is not debatable. Senator Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
This question, does Kerry yield the question?
Oh, this for go ahead for informational hearing. Senator, yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes.
For informational purposes, yes.
Yes, I do yield.
Yes, go ahead, Senator.
So my question has to be germane to the bill. Are we on the same motion? Is that
for
correct?
For informational purposes, if you have a question about it, yes. It's related to the rule suspension.
Remove my question.
So we have before us that the rules be suspended for final action on SCR 2 and SB 339. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the resolution.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, establishing deadlines for completion of legislative measures in the state of adjournment, signed aye.
Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, SCR 2 comes to you from the Joint Special Committee on Special Joint Committee on Session Schedule. Those of you that were in the last regular session would recognize a similar bill, SCR 1, that basically set up the deadlines for committees to do their work, for us to do our work here in the building, for bill request submissions to Legislative Council. That is what this bill basically does. It will allow us to expedite our business. It will also allow us to set clear deadlines so that we will be able to finish the people's business in this session by the end of June.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize for the earlier question. Does the carrier yield to a question?
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Yes.
He will. Go ahead, Senator.
To the good senator, just by way of clarification, does this bill at all enable who gets the economic forecast first between the executive branch or the legislative branch of government?
No, it does not. The purpose of this bill, to the question, Mr. President, the purpose of this bill is to set out deadlines for this body. There were a number of questions asked in committee yesterday about who the state economist is responsible to in terms of putting forward a forecast and what were the deadlines for that. And it is statutory, but the deadlines only state that they be given each calendar quarter, not on a specific date.
To the bill.
Go ahead, Senator.
Colleagues, this is a fine debate, and my objection to the measure has nothing to do with the contents of the bill. What it has to do with is the mechanism that we are endorsing by passing this bill. And let me explain. It has been the tradition of the Oregon legislature to allow the executive branch of government to receive the forecast before the legislative branch of government has it. And in some years past, over the many years that I've been here, and so have most of my colleagues, there has been some consternation as to if the executive branch has it first or has it a few days before the legislative branch has it, why can't we have it at the same time? The discussion came up yesterday, and during the course of this, we were given a calendar that was amended into the amended version of this bill. Inside that calendar was a discussion about when will the legislative branch of government receive the economic forecast. It had been moved up from when it was previously due to a new date. My concern and my objection on this bill is that when we place that calendar before us, we are in turn even stamping that, saying this is when the legislative branch of government will receive the economic forecast. Now, Mr. President, in these economic times, I don't think it is good for one branch of government to either A, set when that happens, or B, receive it before the other branch of government gets it. So it's got nothing to do with party. It's got nothing to do with anything. But the institution of the Oregon legislature, I believe, should have the economic forecast at the exact same time that the legislative branch of government has it. And by passing SCR 2A as amended, we are endorsing a practice that is not in statute, and for that reason, I would urge a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm in support of SCR 2, and I would urge colleagues to take just a minute and look at the bill summary, because this gives us a very clear roadmap for how we should proceed during this legislative session. There are specific deadlines for the dates by which the parties or the chambers will organize their business. There are specific deadlines for which days and on what deadlines the members will submit their measure for drafting requests to legislative council. There are very specific dates for the deadlines to introduce legislation at the House and the Senate. There are very specific deadlines for the last day the committee chairs can schedule work sessions. In short, Mr. Chairman, this is the roadmap. This is the calendar. These are the timelines by which we'll organize this legislative session. And I think this actually obligates us to meet these timelines and to stay on deadline, but it also puts us all on notice. We're all starting with the same information. So, Mr. President, I think this is a commitment to getting the people's business completed by dates certain, and I support the concept and SCR 2A.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Devlin, do you wish to close?
Yes, just briefly. I appreciate the comments of the Republican leader, and I appreciate the comments of the good senator from Southern Oregon. The only thing I would state is just to clarify in terms of the forecast, Mr. Johnson here, we've had this question over the last couple of days. Statute is actually completely silent on the forecast being given to the governor. The only thing in statute is that it will go quarterly to the legislature, and it doesn't list a specific date. So if that's something we need to look into in the future, that would probably be something we could consider if they wanted more clarification of that. The other thing to keep in mind is when we put out the calendar yesterday, the physical calendar, it probably would have been good basically to have explained that there are a number of dates within that calendar that are not in this legislation, because those dates are not as critical to us getting out of here at the specific time that we are trying to complete the people's business. I think there's broad support for this measure. It's necessary for us to do the people's business, and I urge its passage.
Thank you, Senator. The question now arises upon the third reading and final adoption of SCR 2A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici?
Aye.
Boquist? Burdick? Carter?
Yes.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
Farioli?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Girard?
Aye.
Hass?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz? Cruz? Metzger?
Aye.
Bonas Anderson? Monroe?
Aye.
Morissette?
Aye.
Morse? Nelson?
Aye.
Brzezinski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Whitsett? Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
No.
Bates?
No.
President Courtney? Excused?
No.
Not answering Cruz?
No.
Excused? Bates? Boquist? Morse? Whitsett? Voting no, Atkinson? Cruz? 24 ayes.
SCR 2A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. First reading of House measures. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.403, I'm going to go back to there to third readings. And have the clerk read the bill. I want to get out of here.
Senate Bill 339 relating to allotments and declaring emergency.
All right, now the chair will recognize Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 339 relates to allotments. Senate Bill 339 prohibits the Department of Administrative Services and the governor from reducing amounts allotted to state agencies below the amount needed to pay debt service for the current biennium. In 2003, the legislature passed House Bill 2148. The bill granted the governor the authority to reduce allotments of expenditures across the board when a general fund budget deficit occurred during the biennium. The reductions were required to be all appropriations by an equal percentage. For the 07-09 biennium, a number of those discrete appropriations are solely for debt service, with the governor recently electing to implement allotment reductions to eliminate the current budget deficit. It has been pointed out that these debt service appropriations would also need to be reduced under current law. Senate Bill 339 still requires the governor to take allotment reductions equally from all appropriations, but it requires that any reductions to debt service may not be below the amount needed for the rest of the biennium. Without the passage of this bill, the state will not be able to issue any more debt. This includes a number of projects that were approved by the 07 legislature. The bill would also allow the current administrative rule issued by the Department of Administrative Services for the governor to conform with current law. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 339. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Carter, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 339. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should be passed will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney. Excused. Bates, Boquist, Morse, Whitsett, 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 339, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Farioli, for which purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, thank you for a vote explanation, Mr. President.
Vote explanation, please proceed.
Colleagues, I voted yes on this bill because I think it's extremely important that we confer all of the required authority to the governor to do reductions in expenditures across the board. And the reason that it has become even more important is that just today, Mr. President, Mr. Potaski, in briefing members of the Ways and Means Committee, estimated that Oregon's revenue picture has deteriorated significantly since the November revenue projection, and his estimate of that deterioration ranges between $300 million and $600 million of decline. Mr. President, that puts Oregon at roughly $1 billion below the projected estimate of revenue at the current moment in time. And, Mr. President, that should not surprise anyone, given the condition of the economy in the nation and in the region. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger announced yesterday that his state is $40 billion off the revenue projections. And we know that our colleagues to the north in Washington state are $15 billion off their revenue projection. It would amaze me, Mr. President, if we are only $1 billion upside down. It also has implications for the next biennial budget. We could be as much as $2 billion, but we'll have to wait for better projections. So, Mr. President, conferring the authority to the governor to make appropriate and immediate reductions across the board is a very important power to confer. So I'm glad to see that the body accepted Senate Bill 339. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. First reading of House measures, second reading of House measures, third reading of House measures, other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 7 was distributed to the members January 15th. The referral will be recorded in the journal and status report. So ordered. Announcements. If there are no announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11:30 a.m. Monday, January 19th.